Good morning. Thank you. Welcome to worship at First Baptist Church on this Pentecost Sunday. We welcome those of you who are worshiping with us from home or elsewhere. It's a good day for recognizing that barriers, borders, boundaries are blown apart. I mean, healthy boundaries, those are always good, but the barriers and borders that we put up between each other and others, the Spirit blows them apart, and being able to worship here and in other places, spaces, and at other times is part of that. We're glad you're here. It's good to be together. I invite you to read the announcements related to our congregational life at your leisure. You can take a moment and sign in to our worship sign-in online. You can do that if you have your phone. If you're here in this room, you can do that at home. Let us know who's with us and anything else you would like to share. I invite you now to join with me in our responsive call to worship. That first day found us together. Then the Spirit came as wind and fire. We found our voices. They heard it, and we heard it too, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and no one is excluded from the gift. The Spirit is given. We are changed. The church is born. Alleluia.
If you are able, please stand. Let us pray. Almighty God, holy God, gracious God, loving God, forgiving God, shepherd God, Mother God, Father God, our God, We have assembled here now to worship you, to praise your name, to thank you for the Lord Jesus, the foundation upon which we have become a church, to hear your word for us today, to rededicate ourselves to do and to be what you have called us to do and to be. And as priests to one another, to offer the blessing of peace to one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Read the psalm responsively. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your riches. All of these look to you to give them their food in due season. You give it, they gather it up. You open your hand, they have their fill. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Awesome and almighty God, your grace amazes us, your love empowers us, and your spirit surprises us. Open us to the fierceness of your grace, and to the flame of your love, and to the fire of your spirit. Disturb our easy assumptions. and our lazy expectations. Make us bold. Give us courage. Break down every barrier that stands between us and you. Tear down the false lines and unhelpful walls we've erected between ourselves and the neighbors you've called us to love. Help us to trust the stirrings of your spirit in our hearts and in our midst. In that trust, we offer our prayers. You promise peace beyond understanding. And you know our world needs that peace. We need that peace. And we pray that peace over our nation and our neighbors, over this community and all communities, over our world. Not the superficial peace that comes from a lack of disagreement or a forced unity, but a real peace. The wholeness that comes when we do justice. The healing that comes when we show kindness. The goodness that comes when we walk humbly with you. We pray peace especially for the traumatized, for the grieving, for the dying. We pray peace for children everywhere, and especially for children living in the midst of violence, or under the threat of violence, or with the fear of violence. Help us to do our part to shelter them and to work towards a peaceful future for them. We pray for the people we carry in our hearts, especially in these moments. We name these before you now: Ron Tipton, Phil White, Joe and Kathy Mortensen, Esther Floyd, Marilyn Marsh, Laura Parmalee, Mrs. Essie Slaughter, Ulysses Slaughter Jr., Michael Renning, Mike and Suzanne, Glenn Modell, Mia Germano, Del Jones, Katie Mason, Tom and Terry Rubenstein, John Rowe, Faye Key, Leah Grange, Lisa Hess, Carl, Chris Ledyard Argus, and Marin Brogger. And we pray our private prayers in silence now, trusting you with our deepest needs. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Move us, fill us, and kindle in us the flame of your love, that we might live your love and show your love and tell your love to all. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now to the story told on every Pentecost Sunday. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, all of as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we now hear each of us in our own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, all in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the latter days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Then Peter spoke to them the gospel, and then we read these words. "And those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers." The word of the Lord. There is a priceless story from the history of our congregation that we just love to tell. Some of you by now have heard it, I guess, multiple times. But it's worth hearing the 10th time or the first. It happened in the year 1845. Abe Lincoln had just opened his law office in Springfield, Illinois. Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass were young adults in their 20s. Mark Twain was a 10-year-old boy. Emily Dickinson was 14. And so was Sitting Bull. Ann Arbor was still called a village back then, though the population had recently reached about 3,000. This congregation wasn't meeting here, but at that time, near to where the Kellogg Eye Center is now on Wall Street. The This old university near us now had been here in Ann Arbor less than 8 years. The church had been here more than twice that long. Take that. At the university was a professor of philosophy named Andrew Ten Brook. Professor Ten Brook was also, at the time, interim minister of this congregation. And recently, he had been instrumental in the decision of 6 university students to commit themselves to Christ. And a date was set for their baptism down at the Huron River, which the church always used for conducting their baptisms. A word got out, and folks in town were curious about what the oddball Baptists did at that river when they were dunking each other down. And so a big crowd showed up that day, over 200 people in all, townspeople and students, and they stood on a bridge over the Huron River to watch the baptisms down below. And with the weight of 200 people, the bridge collapsed. Imagine it as a movie might show it now. 200 people in slow motion falling, flailing, going splash into the river, then bobbing up big-eyed and sputtering. No one was hurt, which everyone thought was amazing. I'm sorry to report that some Methodists in town said it was the wrath of God on a barbaric ritual. The Baptist said, no, it's just a sign that God wants everybody to be immersed. And the weather's just fine when it's raining Presbyterians. I call it a great picture of how, when you're doing church, there's no telling who will show up and from where and how they got there. Great surprises of belonging and kinship happen in a living church. And there's always room for more. Especially those who thought they were not the type. Come on down. The water is fine. All in. Now that is a Pentecost story, isn't it? Like that day that real church was born. A group of folk were praying together, friends of the absent Jesus, men and women, who were missing him and were now together as he told them to be. They're waiting and they're praying for the Spirit. And the Spirit came like wind and like fire, and it pushed them out the door into the city with the power of new work and new words to speak and a new passion of love to share. And it was all of them, every last one of them, empowered and adding their voice. That had to be a big surprise. Surely they had assumed before it happened that when the time came, some of their leaders would do some new kind of thing. But the Spirit chose every single one together, women and men, young and old, and they all, it turns out, had something to say. That in itself was a revolution. Peter said so when he addressed that first century crowd. He told them This fulfills the ancient prophecy where God said, I will pour out my spirit and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young and your old will dream dreams and see vision. Even upon slaves, both male and female, I will pour out my spirit. And so from its birth, the church was gender inclusive, age inclusive, social status inclusive. Sons and daughters, young and old, and all the servants too. When church is born, nobody is on the margins. And it happened when they were all together. The Spirit did not choose to overtake each of them individually in separate places. They were all in the room where it happened. Jesus had told them, stay together. And that's how the Spirit found them and filled them and used them. I've had the pleasure lately of attending several events for graduating high school seniors. A commencement, an award ceremony for the choir, and a banquet for the crew team. And here is the most powerful thing that all three events had in common. It was not what they had accomplished. It was not that they had arrived at an ending. In every case, the most powerful thing was the bond they shared with each other. They had made their long journeys together, had blended their voices to sing together, had trained and competed together. So I got to witness their raucous applause for each other, their calling out the names of each other, the telling of shared memories, the laughter, the long, fierce hugs and some tears, and when it was done, how they lingered and lingered with each other. And it was love. Love born of shared experience through time. That was their spirit, and it is not unconnected from the Holy Spirit's joyous power in the church's power born of shared experience. On this count, COVID has cost us, hasn't it? We are, to be sure, thankful beyond words for the thriving of the church in our connections online. Thank God. It's astounding how we've worshiped and served and grown and loved from our separate spaces joined. But there is, it turns out, a different kind of power when we step away from the surface of screens and join together in flesh and blood, face to face, shoulder to shoulder, voices joined, bound together in body and soul. I know that for some, this cannot yet happen and must not because of precarious health or vulnerable little children. But we also know it can be addictive to keep to the surface of a screen because it's easier, comfortable, casual relationship is certainly less demanding. You literally hold the control. And who needs all this interaction anyway? Oh, but the difference. What a difference there is to enter into shared experience together. A different kind of possibility for being enlivened together and empowered in our own embodied selves together. And so I'll say it. If in good conscience, if in good conscience, you are able to come and join bodily in shared worship and community, why, come on down. The water's fine. It is way better than fine. There's a joyous power in it. Power, among other things, for every last one of us to do our own part, to take our own responsibility for the life of the Spirit. In the life of the Spirit, church is no spectator sport. On the day the church was born, each one of them discovered their own voice and used it. I think it might have surprised some of them. And the Spirit still gives that gift. You think you lack the capacity to do something? Then you venture it and discover that you are more than able. Such capacities are for all of us, and given the size of our purpose, everyone's gift is needed. That's not how church is always done, or even usually done. Pope Paul the 23rd was asked one day by a reporter, how many people work in the Vatican? And the Pope replied, oh, about half, I guess. Not so in a healthy, growing, living church. All in. And the best of it is that it's not about us. It's for something far bigger than ourselves. It is for the life of the world. Recall how the rest of the Pentecost story goes. People from all over the world are now in the city for a big festival. Some of them, many of them, live there with other origins, but now the place is truly cosmopolitan. Out in the street, there are Africans, Asians, Arabs, Europeans, and others, all from so many cultures and styles. And the 120, filled with the Spirit, go out to them, speaking now in language that each of those people can somehow understand. They're astonished. How is it that each of us can hear them speak in the language of our motherland? The language our hearts know deepest and best. But this is what we are empowered and privileged to do, to break through barriers and boundaries, to break through mutual misunderstanding and mistrust. We are all in with each other so we can be all in with people of all kinds and address what prevents us from doing and being so, and share in the language of mutual need and our faith and hope and love. On that day, We're told that about 3,000 people were baptized. The story ends with the world being changed. Shall we dare believe that people like us can really, in fact, help to change this broken world? The Spirit says, yes, even you, even us. Come, Holy Spirit, and let all of us be the best of news for all the world. Let's do that in the power of the Spirit. And let us do it together. Each of us enlivened, each of us empowered, each of us called to give the gifts of who we are and of what we have and of who God calls us to be.
This is the table of God's grace and power. This is God's table, and everyone is welcome here. To make ourselves ready to receive these gifts, let us confess our sins together before God and one another. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. We stand. As forgiven and reconciled children of God, let us offer one another signs of peace and reconciliation. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let's pray together in the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, God formed us in his image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, God's love remained steadfast. In love, God gave us his only Son, Jesus Christ. By his suffering, death, and resurrection, God gave birth to the church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us once more, we who are gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and cup, which we have received in gratitude. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly table. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. There will be plates at the doors today, and these are for the offering that is called One Great Hour of Sharing. This is an ecumenical offering, which is distributed, collected by all manner of congregations and denominations. It goes in particular for material aid in places in the world that are in crisis. In this respect, we are giving well beyond our close-by sphere. Let us give as we're able, with freedom and gladness. Will you stand now for our hymn of fellowship? Now, dear friends, remember that you are beloved children of God and members of the family of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Spirit fill you and use you as light for this world to the glory of God. Amen.